Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
No.
This is TV worth talking about. This is Shrine of Telly.
Hello and welcome to Shrine of Telly. I'm Brendan.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Rebecca.
And welcome to this little catch-up. It's been a while. How are you?
Hi, guys. We're just dropping by.
We've lots to discuss, guys. I mean, a lot has happened over the last few weeks since we stopped doing our weekly Shrine of Telly and took a bit of a break. Hannah, you're officially married.
I know. I got married. It was amazing. We were all there. So we're going to have a little chat about that. And then we're also talking about, which I'm so excited, Marcella season 3, which is finally on Netflix, which means other people can share in the madness that is the turns and twists of that season. And a couple of other TV bits, which we just can't contain ourselves over.
Yeah. But first of all, let's talk about your wedding, Hannah. It was the most amazing day.
Oh, guys. Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. And you two came to, so we basically did 3 days, which sounds obnoxious, but we had the wedding in Doolin, which is in County Clare on the west of Ireland. It's like 3.5 to 4 hours from Dublin. So my thinking was, if we're all going to be down there, we may as well make the most of it and have drinks the night before, which were so much fun, have the wedding day. And then it is traditional in Ireland, I'm sure it's exact same in the UK, to have a day too. So we did that as well, and did karaoke, and there was disco balls, and a James Brown impersonator was the band. And I think Rebecca, was it you? Someone definitely asked me, was it a hologram? And I was like, no, it's not.
No, do you know what happened? Okay. So first of all, Hannah, you looked absolutely stunning. The whole wedding was just magical from start to finish. But we were sitting down at the dinner and we were having a lovely meal. And I kind of, Brendan was like, oh my God, like, the singer has arrived, like the band have arrived. And I was like, oh my gosh, I had a flashback, Hannah, to 2019 when we used to sit beside each other and work, and you were like, you know, full on in wedding planning mode. And you had mentioned to me that you were going to get a James Brown impersonator, but I completely forgot about it. So I was just so surprised when the man actually walked in, and Brendan was like, holy Jesus, he's so like James Brown. Like, it was uncanny. It was like the man had just come back from the dead.
I know. And you know, what I didn't like specifically set out to book a James Brown impersonator. I set out to book a soul band because I love that type of music and disco, and that's what we love, and I thought it would be perfect for the day. And then I just found Buck Taylor, who in another life is a James Brown impersonator but also has a soul band. They're so incredible. So booked him, didn't think too much about the James Brown of it all until he arrived.
In
the velvet blazer, like, with like I looked gold up, diamonds on it. Like, we nearly dropped dead.
I think I was finishing my dinner or my dessert. I was still eating, and Reb had said, she's like, I think there might be a James Brown impersonator later. Kind of forgot about it, put it out of my head. And I looked up, I just actually looked up to look at you and our Craig, just to, you know, check in on you, just make sure everything was looking all right. And there was, for all intents and purposes, actual James Brown. I got a fright. I got James such Brown. A fright that I didn't know how to, like, kind of deal with my emotions, that I just laughed hysterically and uncontrollably for about 5 minutes. The man was the spit of him.
Embarrassed around him, and he came over because we've been building them up and building them up like for so long now, and like the music was such an important part of the day, and I was like, like when you book a wedding as well, Reb, you'll experience this next year. Like you book everything so far in advance and then you get to the day and you're like, are these people showing up? Like you check in, but you're like, you just have to go. Like the lack of control I couldn't cope with. So I'm like, well, he's meant to be here at 8 o'clock. And I swear to God, the clock struck 8, boom, the door opened, in they came. And there he was. And I was almost like just embarrassed or like shy around him because I was like, oh my God, he's there in the flesh. And he walked towards us. We were all on the top table. Me and the bridesmaids and my mom and Craig, we're all like freaking out. We're like, Buck Taylor's here. He's here. And he sort of starts to walk towards us and we're like, oh my God. And one of my bridesmaids, Sophia, like shoves me out of the way and she's like, I'm getting him a drink. And okay. And I thought he was coming up to like, you know, say hello to us or whatever. And I was so excited. And I went over and I was like, Buck, it is so incredible to meet you. Thanks so much for, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it turned out he was just there to get paid or he wouldn't go on stage. He wasn't there to say hello to us at all.
Iconic.
I'm burning the ears off him. And he's like, sorry, but can I just actually get the envelope full of money? And can you fuck shut up, fuck off and let me do my job? So yeah, the whole thing start to finish, absolutely iconic. Buck was one of the highlights of the day. And then
no, he's so talented. We need to talk about excellent. How it was like going back in time and being there. It was that whole era of music. He's so talented. He's world-class performer. I don't know how he didn't make it big.
See, neither do I, but like he did thing with like the Blues Brothers and stuff. Like he did have this like incredibly promising career when he was younger. He's from the States. Like he's an American man. He now lives in Mayo. I think he fell in love with an Irish woman. He lives on West Clare. And like, you know, the soul scene in 2022 West Clare isn't exactly flourishing. So I think, I don't know, I don't want to put words in Buck's mouth, but did he maybe give up his career for love, which is so romantic? But what I will say is he needs to charge 4 times the amount. Like, I felt like I robbed the man. Like, he's that talented. It was like, I mean, I've seen Prince at Malahide Castle. Before I saw Paul McCartney at Glastonbury, it was my number one gig. Buck Taylor is fucking up there and he shouldn't be charging what he is. So if you're out there, Buck, and you can hear me, ramp up the price because, sweet Jesus, it was incredible.
Yeah, it was so good.
Incredible. It was such a perfect way to finish off and start, I suppose, finish off the one half of the day and then start the big, big party. Yeah. And he got us all on the dance floor. I mean, me and Brendan, we went into work on the Tuesday after your wedding, Hannah. And like we had been in bits from doing the Rock the Boat and we were doing stretches and all because we were, we actually had injured ourselves doing Rock the Boat.
Yeah, my legs.
Oh, I loved it. And
I sat into it kind of wrong, so my legs were really, really tight. And then somebody sort of like joined the boat, but the middle of the boat. So they sat on the person in front of me. And so everything was just really tense and stressed. So we had to get up and stretch on the dance floor mid-wedding.
Oh, and a storm had definitely hit that boat at one point. It was raucous wherever I was sitting my wedding dress.
It was Port Havers.
It was Port Havers.
But me and Craig, though, Buck Taylor sung the first song, which was our first dance. And I think I've been talking about the disco balls on this. I've talked to you about disco balls so much since 2019. Surely it's come up in the podcast how expensive they are.
I am
how
now,
hard they are to
since
find,
your wedding.
How long
I am acutely
they take to get delivered?
Aware, yeah, acutely aware of how expensive a disco ball is. I was at a brunch this weekend and they had 4 huge disco balls. I was just staring at them in amazement, going, "That's about $100,000 on the ceiling. They're so expensive."
$100,000. So I ended up with 6, which was a lot less than my initial vision, but actually ended up looking amazing. And when we were there for the first dance, it's the first time we were all on the dance floor, the sound and light technician guy just moved the lights to hit off the disco balls and they went everywhere while Buck sang the chorus. And it was literally probably one of the best moments of my whole life. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So this is just a message to anyone that ever walks past the disco ball. If you're in it, just appreciate them. They're fucking expensive and they take 27 weeks to come no matter where you order them from.
Yeah, they are.
Oh my God, they looked incredible.
I told you what happened to the one in my house.
I loved it, guys.
The drama of it all. There was just a disco ball on the roof at the back of my house. It was there before I moved in. It belonged to the landlady. It's been on the outside back wall up on the roof, right? And I went out to meet a friend the other week. This is just before your wedding. And there's kind of at the top of the stairs, there's a window out to the roof. It was open. So I come home from meeting my friend, open the front door, and there's like something jamming it. I can't open the front door. I eventually get in and I realise... The mirror ball, the disco ball, had fallen off the back wall on the outside of the house, bounced off the roof in through the window, down the flight of stairs, across the hall, and landed at the front door and had just smashed into pieces.
It was trying, like, I feel like it was trying to communicate with you, Brendan.
That sounds like the Phantom of the Opera, it, Brendan. It's haunting you, your disco ball.
It wanted to come to Doolin.
It came in from outside and landed at your feet at the front door.
Yeah. It wanted to come to Doolin, obviously.
It had had
clearly,
enough.
It had enough, and it said, bring me with you. I'll tell you two disco ball related things. One I haven't been able to talk about yet, which is Craig booking. Like, we're obviously just married, grand. We're meant, you know, we're very in love, whatever. Dud on one of them.
Grand.
Dud on one what? Of them. It's already broken. Oh, no. I'm sickened. I was like, do you know? And I had a little plan for them. I was putting them in the fireplace, and now one of them is broken in half, and it didn't even break in half. Yours broke in half real arty, Brendan, and you've done something with it. Mine's just shattered. So I was like, well, that's brilliant. No. I'm really going to try not start to fight. And then the Arctic Monkeys, my favourite band of all time, released a disco ball related song the week of the wedding.
Serendipity.
So take from that what you will.
Yeah.
Serendipity, Hannah. Complete serendipity. Anyway, it was so magical. I know this is really random, but I associate your wedding with Marcella season 3, Hannah. And it was because
segue.
Myself and Brendan were staying in a house up the road on the first night, the night before, which is gorgeous. You had lovely welcome drinks in Fiddle and Bow and Doolin.
It was amazing.
And we went. And
gorgeous hotel, by the way.
It's so lovely. We had several drinks, right? Brendan, myself, and my fella Nathan went back to the house that we were staying in. And like, they had bought a bottle of wine at your drink, so they were like, we're going to finish off the bottle of wine. And I said, you know what's the perfect soundtrack to a bottle of wine? Marcella season 3. Brendan had already seen it, so had you, Hannah. You guys have been telling me to watch it for years. I had seen the first two seasons, but I knew like that the third season really did take a handbrake turn is probably the only way to describe it. So myself and Nathan had watched one or two episodes, and we sat down and I said, let's watch episode 3 or whatever, and the three of us sat there and drank wine at, I don't know what time it was, maybe 1 o'clock in the morning, and continued to watch Marcella season 3.
I love that so outrageous. Much.
Until I fell asleep
the
in the chair.
And it was lashing rain. But one of the first things you said to me the next day, on the wedding day, was like, me, Nathan and Brendan went home last night, drank a bottle of wine, watched Marcella season 3. I was like, well, do you know what? That sounds fucking perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, then we all slept beautifully. Yeah, we slept brilliantly after the wine in Marcella season 3. And we were fresh and ready to go. We went to the Cliffs of Moher, Hannah. Yeah, and then we got to see you say hi to.
That'd wake you up to yourself, them cliffs. And I loved it because there was people all over the town all morning, because we kind of, it's a really small town. Like, you could not call it a town. It is like 4 buildings in a row, and then you're just surrounded by the burn or the sea. And then it's America. And there was people all over the town from the wedding randomly bumping into each other. I loved it. Everyone was up the cliffs that morning.
Yeah, it was all the, the weather was amazing.
Like the population
weather.
Of America.
Yeah. There was a lot of people in awe of the cliffs. They were just in awe of the cliffs. So, Reb, you have since finished Marcella season 3.
You've seen this, just as a
warning to anyone who hasn't yet watched Marcella season 3, if you want to, we're going to talk about it openly here because we have to. So there are Marcella season 3 spoilers coming for the next, we'll say, 3 minutes. So if you haven't watched, just skip on a little bit. Reb, what did you make of it?
Okay, so like Marcella, we know from as a character, right? Marcella is a detective. I mean, she has her own rule book is the best way to describe her, I think, too. She does have quite a lot of trauma in her life and in her past. She's actually gone undercover for the third season, so she's in Belfast. Now, I was very confused when I started watching it because I didn't really remember the first two seasons, but you didn't need to remember. You could probably watch Marcella. It doesn't matter. You can watch Marcella season 3 on its own, and it's its own kind of, I don't even know, would I say it's a soliloquy? What is going on? So she's undercover. She's got blonde hair and she's living in a house, a family, and they are all, you know, drug dealers. They import the drugs in through the port in Belfast. She's riding one guy. Then he gets killed and she's riding another guy. Then one of the brothers is staring at her through a peephole over the bed. Then the mum's really evil and a lot's going on. She's having a lot of episodes really throughout the season. You guys had warned me that there was one particular moment throughout the series, one standalone moment that you both fell off the couch when you watched it. So I was watching this show, and every day and every time I was watching it, I was saying to Brendan, is this the bit? Was this the bit? Was it when this happened? Was it when this person died? And Brendan was like, no. So I'm getting to, like, guys, I mean, I'm on episode 4, like 8 at this stage. And I'm like, I think there's 8 episodes. And I'm like, oh my God, the bit hasn't happened yet. So the bit that I thought you were talking about was towards the very end, when everyone's killed in the house at the very end, and Marcella then takes the eye of the brother that was staring at her through a peephole and opened up his laptop with his eye. Was that not the bit that you guys were talking about?
It wasn't.
She pulls out someone's eye and uses it to access a laptop.
I think by the time me and Brendan had got to that point,
yeah,
I just, nothing would have surprised me anymore.
There was another bit, Reb,
so much in my whole life.
What was the bit with the pig, Reb?
Get Anna Friel to do it, guys.
What was the bit with the pig?
Oh, there was also another bit. There was another bit that she was wrestling a pig because she had suspected that the boyfriend of the sister involved in the drug family, that he'd been murdered. And she was trying to get his ring or something as proof that he died. Anyway, she was wrestling a pig, and I thought that it was that bit. Then I couldn't figure out what it was. And then I was like, no, it has to be the bit that she took out a man's eye and opened up his laptop to identify it and to try and transfer the millions of pounds into her bank account before fleeing not getting caught. I mean, guys, it was a wild ride. I thoroughly enjoyed every moment. I'll never watch it again. And it was crazy.
It was crazy.
But oh, it's never coming back, surely.
No,
like, I mean, they just started a new show, basically.
She wasn't even called Marcella. Her name was Kira. Do you know what I mean? I know she was undercover and all. But no, Reb, the bit that we were absolutely floored by, and it was just because there was no preamble, there was no foreshadowing, shall we say. It was when your man, Lawrence Kinlan, who played Elmo in Love Hate, who he plays Jack, I think, in Marcella season 3. It's when he wakes up in bed with your man. I literally fell off the sofa. I was like, where has this come from? There was clearly other scenes or subplots that had just been cut, and that then when this came along, it just made no sense whatsoever. It was just very unexpected.
No, that didn't make any sense. I thought I'd fallen asleep for a bit, so I'd kind of missed the kind of hints towards
no,
that.
You
so
didn't.
It wasn't that bit. It wasn't the two men in bed together that shocked me. It was her taking out someone's eye and using it to access a laptop. Because you need to go back and watch that scene. She's holding the eye like it is. And the mum has had a stroke in the bed, and the mum's just staring at her when she's accessing
the mom. That woman was iconic, that character. I loved her so much.
Yeah, she's evil. Evil.
So listen, Marcella season 3, I don't think it will return. No. And I don't know what was going on. Someone else clearly wrote. Who wrote that? Like, what was happening?
I actually Googled him recently. Yeah, he hasn't done much else. Marcella seems to be his kind of biggest thing. I think he's Scandinavian, or it's
like, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like, I was bet into it so much so that I was going drinking out and like going on nights out and to pre-wedding parties and going home to watch it. Like, I loved it, but like, geez, it was a wild ride.
No,
it didn't make any sense.
It'll do well on Netflix, I think. It'll get people just watching it for the what the fuck of it all.
Yeah, the WTF.
Yes, absolutely. Now, another show that Hannah has been telling myself and Brendan to watch for about 2 years is The Capture.
Am thrilled that you both have watched this. I'm thrilled because I was on my own for a while because it slipped under the radar. And I don't know if people in the UK feel the same. I actually looked it up. So I think the average viewership for an episode in season 1, which came out in 2020, I want to say, 2019?
Yeah, 2019, I think, yeah.
Was 7.6 million. So it's obviously a load of people watching it. I just don't feel like there was much chatter around it. It kind of slipped in. I think I watched it during the pandemic, so I might have watched it like a couple of months after it came out, but I absolutely loved it. Got so excited when it was coming back and was just blown away by season 2. They're definitely going to do a third season, and we should definitely do a podcast about it.
We have to podcast about it. It's the best show I've watched this year.
It's so good.
I agree. It's the best show I've watched this year.
Yeah, same. I'm so surprised that even, like, I know there's not like a load of chatter about it, but even I feel like the BBC didn't, like, you know, promote it like as this huge, big, amazing show. Like,
I agree.
It is up there with, and this, I read this, it's in The Guardian, but like, it's exactly how I thought about it. It is like the, I can't remember who in The Guardian said it, but they were like, it is as good as kind of like season 3 Line of Duty and early Sherlock. And like, they're not wrong. It is that good of a TV show. Like, it's incredible.
I loved the first season. I thought the first season was great, but the second season just blew me away. I was fed into it. I now don't want to have a camera on my phone. I now want to disconnect every camera device. I don't want to open up a camera with someone else's eye. I just am freaked out because I'm like, who wrote this? Oh, they must know something. They must know what's going on.
And it's so exciting and it's fiction and it's high drama. But the thing about it is, it's like that Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Area where it's very fucking possible. Like, there's a guy on TikTok that's a deep fake of Tom Cruise that's happening now that you can go and see for entertainment. So this, like, this fiction, this story isn't that far off. It's absolutely fascinating for people that have no idea what it's about at all. So it's a British mystery thriller starring Holiday Grainger, who is an absolute icon. And season one stars Callum Turner, Laura Haddock, Ben Mills, Kevin Clerken, Paul Ritter and Ron Perlman as an FBI agent.
Terrifying.
And I don't know how much I can give away because I haven't watched the season one trailer in ages. But essentially, something happens. It's caught on CCTV. And then that CCTV is changed. It's deep faked. Mm-hmm. And then nobody knows what to believe. And people's lives are ruined. And that continues into and kind of opens up into a wider world of politics into season two. It's absolutely incredible. Stars. Did you guys watch I May Destroy You?
Yes.
Yeah, so Papa Esadu, that's where I first learned about how amazing he is. He is the star of season two. He plays the main politician that is caught up in all this drama.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's a detective drama, but it's just so much more than that. It turns into something so much more. And I think just, yeah, with all the AI around the place now and everything, it's so clever. It's so well written and everyone who stars in it's amazing. It's a must watch. And I hope to God they do a third season. It definitely feels like, though, that last scene of her face looks shocked at the very end.
Mm. I have a quote
from Holiday Grainger. So she told Radio Times that she'd be really interested to know where show creator Ben would take a season three. She says it goes on such a journey from the beginning, Carrie and the plot. It goes on a massive journey throughout season two that where we left it, the world and correction as we leave it at the end. I want to know what happens next. So I'd love to watch season three for sure. I'd love to know where Carrie went. I think it's going to come back.
Yeah. And if you haven't seen the capture yet and you've got iPlayer, just get on it. Like, it really is. It's the most exciting thing I've watched since, like, the best episodes of Line of Duty. It gave me that kind of a feeling. Like, it's really tense. It's literally thrilling. And how it's just kind of integrated into, like, political life and, like, wider society and stuff as well. It's fascinating. And it's terrifying because it feels so real. And you're like, this is probably already happening. So, yeah, it's an excellent
and that's
watch.
That's the connection with Line of Duty, where they bring up such topical things that we can, like, dissect in the podcast. They bring up things that are relevant in the world now, and so did The Capture. Like, it's complete entertainment, it's complete fiction, but they're so relevant. And then you end up having conversations that are sort of necessary to have in the world we live in, which I think is just so interesting.
Yeah. And if there is
and
a season three,
and the fact that they kind of bring in the journalist from the BBC and all of that, it feels so real.
Yeah.
The second season, it's unmissable television, unmissable. And it's going to be the show that, I think if it comes back for another season, it's going to be the show that everyone's talking about. I know a lot of people are talking about it already, but it did slip under the radar a little bit, especially the first season.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And
I agree.
We'll definitely be covering season three on the podcast.
There was more Twitter chatter. Yeah, there was more Twitter chatter with this one. And I think it's kind of like, would you say maybe Line of Duty season four or maybe season three? That was the one that came back and it was like, boom, this is like must watch, cannot miss primetime drama.
Guys, fingers crossed, we'll manifest another season. Another show that's coming back very soon, because Hannah, you saw the, did it just say coming soon trailer during the finale for The Capture or one of the weeks? It's Happy Valley. It's coming back very soon. We still don't have an air date, but we're going to just whet our appetites by going back and rewatching seasons one and two and recapping them.
Yeah, and I have my theories, guys. I have a date that I think it's going to come back on. Can you remember what one I said to you? Was it sometime in October?
What's airing in between? Yeah, something's airing now. Yeah, Bloodlands, and is that probably okay. What, 6 episodes?
Yeah, so I think it will take the 9 p.m. Sunday line of duty slot once Bloodlands has finished, which I think ends on the 23rd of October, which would mean Happy Valley starting on the 30th of October.
That's a bank holiday weekend. Yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Well, they might
Hannah.
Do a back-to-back. Will they do a double?
Yeah, they could.
And guys, we have form. We correctly guessed the season 6 launch date of Line of Duty. Don't forget. Lest we forget.
I did forget. Did we? I can't believe we did
Yeah,
that.
We did. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, I completely forgot that.
Yeah, we guessed it right. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean,
well,
look,
we have a very basic tactic. I mean, I know a magician isn't meant to reveal their trick, but it's pretty if they say it's coming soon and then you look for the show that's on, when that finishes at 9 p.m. on a Sunday, that following Sunday will then be the day that the show starts. Groundbreaking analysis.
So, fingers crossed, it's going to be back on our screens in just over a month's time.
Yeah.
Okay, so we need to get ready for this because we're going to podcast about it, which I'm absolutely so excited about.
Yeah, so a bit like we did with the overview recaps of Line of Duty to kind of bring you like your speed sort of recaps, we're going to do the same as that for Happy Valley. So we're going to do a season 1 recap and then we're going to do you a season 2 recap. And then when season 3 kicks back off, we'll do our weekly weekly episode recaps as well, as we would have done with Line of Duty.
Yes, on this feed, on the Shrine Podcast feed. So if you have friends out there that love Happy Valley, tell them that we are doing this. If you have never watched it or your friends have never watched it and you listen to this podcast, you will love it. It is dark, 100% dark, but it is absolutely just unbelievable television. Sarah Lancashire, like I'm going to be probably crying on some episodes just how good the woman is.
She's excellent. Yeah. She's so, so good. So
like,
good.
Phenomenal. So yeah, it's a police drama. She's a police officer, but it does, you know, explore her personal and professional life, and it's multi-layered. It's very emotional. She's very passionate about her job, and she's just got so much heart, doesn't she?
It's so real as well. That's the bit that I love. If you ask me, what do you love the most about Happy Valley? Like, I am rewatching it at the moment so we can do our recaps in a couple of weeks, but I rewatch scenes. Like, I'll watch one and it's so good, I'll go back and watch it again just to see her do something that I'm like, I've just seen someone like make that little face or react like that, or that's exactly how I do that. Like, she just makes it so real.
Yeah, I haven't seen a show in a long time that captures the complexity of family life so well, and all of the different layers to different families and all the web and different relationships. I just think it's so, so good.
Yeah, so that is coming up next in our Shrine series. We'll be covering Happy Valley. We'll have a season 1 recap and a season 2 recap before season 3 kicks off. In the meantime, as always, we genuinely love to hear about what you're watching. Please send us your recommendations as well. We're at Shrine Pod on Twitter and on Instagram. And if you'd like to support the podcast as well, you can hear these episodes early, patreon.com/ShrinePod.
And just like Happy Valley, we're coming soon with our recaps.
Yeah.
That's half an hour.
Date TBC.
Love that. We're like, when are they airing? We're not sure, but we're going to record them soon.
This is TV Worth Talking About, and we want to hear what you have to say. Find us now on Twitter and Instagram at ShrinePod.